We are recording.
I call to order the City Magistrates Merit Selection Commission. It is 9:10 on March 27th, 2026. Item number one, Madam Clerk, can you please call roll?
Yes. Chair Rappaport?
Here.
Vice Chair Diaglo? Commissioner Gackey?
Here.
Commissioner Ferguson?
Here.
Can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Ordinance with the public and our staff, and without exception, such run it. That be cool. And that, excuse me. I have a dry cough allergy. It's a grade three, so that's triggered by talking, which I do a lot. So, yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. You're not out of my reach.
That would be me.
I've got to make sure TD is on.
Another thing that's important, of course, is the judge's legal knowledge and reasoning ability. Once again, Judge Verena is, I think, exceptional in that regard. He's very thoughtful and intelligent. We talked about cases quite a bit since she's been here, and she always has good thoughts and analysis for Angela and her. So there's absolutely no issues with Verena's legal ability. Another big thing is courtroom management. How judges manage the court so that the public is not waiting, so that the calendars manage the appropriately and well balanced. And again, Judge Verena, no issues there. She did a great job with that. And as important as anything is that she's really a wonderful person. She's great to work with, and she is really well respected by everyone in the courthouse, staff, colleagues, the public. I have never heard anything, not one even small negative comment about that friend. So it's with great honor and privilege that I strongly urge you to look at Judge Verena. When I think about, when I leave the court, that's the more down the road in the horizon, what does the future of the court look like? And the judge right on the bench, I'm not concerned. There's a question. Any questions? Thank you very much. And if you're going to turn up the bench. One more. Yeah. Any questions? Thank you.
Okay.
And I'll see you all again.
Hang on, everyone. I've got to. We're going to go into executive. Judge Verena.
You'd ask your interview.
Yes, I will.
However, I believe we scheduled time to review documents and discuss.
Yeah, correct. So I am going to make a motion for it before we go into executive.
Hold on 1 second. I am not recording this. I think it restarted. So give me a minute.
You're kidding.
Okay, let me close that.
It's still right here.
That way. Give me a moment.
Wouldn't be the first day, would it?
I believe we lost. Okay, I am going to have.
So we are in open session at 10:04.
All right, and the record will reflect the commission. Everyone who is here in executive session is still here, and Judge Varan is here as well. I am going to make a motion to recommend reappointment for Judge Varan.
Second.
I second it. Or I third, whoever. Please make sure it's shown, because I was having trouble getting on, and I don't think I said here for the open session.
I got it. I got you. So let's go to roll. Commissioner Rappaport?
Yes.
I'm sorry, that was Chair Rappaport. Sorry. Commissioner Ferguson.
Here.
Sorry.
No, it's yes.
Is that a yes?
Wait, I thought you said roll. Oh, so you're. Oh, yeah.
Roll call
obviously,
vote.
Obviously, yes.
Good vote.
Once again, I screwed it up. It's all the same thing.
He's a little mixed up. Commissioner Gackey.
Yes.
Commissioner Salmon.
Yes. Definitely.
Commissioner Steiner.
Yes.
Commissioner Hogan?
Yes.
Commissioner Matlack. Motion passed.
Thank you so congratulations. Much. Congratulations. Thank you for what you do for the city.
Yes. Thank you.
We are very, very grateful, and I know the community is too.
Continue your good work.
Thank you.
I intend to.
And having four dogs, I appreciate Animal Court. They're awesome. They've been listening in on the special session. I hope that was all right.
Thank you very much, Judge.
Thank you very much. And thank you for all of your service. I know you don't get paid for this job, and it's a lot of work. Thank you.
All right, item five. Did everyone have a chance to see the Word document of the new magistrate application and questionnaire? There were very minor changes that I incorporated from our last session. Did anyone have any comments on that or anything to add or subtract?
Good question. Isn't that the one you just said just went out? It's kind of moot now?
No, so it went out. This is different. This is the for new judicial applicants. So this is the one that was it circulated a while back, and we had made some additions to it and changes, and I'm wondering if there's anything else that people saw that they wanted to take away or wanted to
Can we look real quick where it was, because it's been a long time. I think that we
It was emailed to us.
I have a copy if anyone needs it. I got an email on March 17th from Ruby that included that.
Yep.
That's helpful.
What does character of your typical clients mean?
Like, what type of clients do you have? It's not meant as a pejorative. It genuinely.
I don't like that question.
Lawyer. Take a guess.
Yeah. It just means who are your typical clients.
So that you guessed that it was pejorative without her saying anything.
Her face told me, and her tone told me.
He's known me for a long time.
I gotcha.
But like,
I wouldn't have guessed that though.
I would, maybe it is because I am mostly a criminal defense attorney, but I would look at that and be like, what are you asking me?
We could change it to who are your typical clients.
I like it. If they're saying mean things about their clients, we should know that. If they look at that question and have only negative things to say, that tells me a lot about them.
Well, or it is a healthy skepticism of people in authority looking down on your clients.
And that does not tell you a lot about the person in authority in itself. That was kind of the point. If they look down on their clients, that tells me a lot about
them. Oh, no. Because I look at this and I'm like, what are you trying to say? Because I have a whole mix of clients.
So that would be your answer.
I think what the concern is that the way the question is worded from the city is a pejorative against potential clients that you have.
Like, and well, because I'm also like, what's the purpose of the question?
It's just, who do you represent? Like, do you represent institutional clients? Do you do criminal defense? Kind of like that.
Well, are you asking on that? I didn't even get a chance to look at it. Are you asking type of law you practice?
It says describe the general nature of your current practice, including any legal specialties, and the character of your typical clients.
And the type, how about you say the type of clients you represent?
Yeah, what kind of clients do you represent? Like that.
I don't have an objection to that. Heidi, what do you think?
I don't have an objection.
I think it probably is clarifying.
Yeah, because like character of your clients is
And who your typical clients are.
So it's your type of client. That's
the type of client. Like a parenthetical, individuals, institutions, government. Like
there you go.
Yeah.
Represent, e.g.
I read this and I go, what are you asking?
Yeah.
And maybe it's because I'm a very literal person. When I'm like, what are, like, the care, when I think of, when you're asking about the character of a person, you're asking about traits,
like they are
personality traits. Like,
yes,
exactly. I have a video my kids used to watch when they were little, something about the pillars of character.
Wait, Didi, I want to follow up. Can I just read the edit that I have made? This is to question 12. Describe the general nature of your current practice, including any legal specialties, and the type of clients you represent, parentheses, e.g. institutional, individual, government entities, etc.
Yeah.
Any objection to that?
Better.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead, Didi.
Well, when I know this is dumb, but it says, where have you ever been charged with a crime? I don't know if some things where you may have had a charge would be considered a crime. So I would just say, have you ever been charged by any police or something like that, rather than just using the term crime?
Can you explain to me what charge would be? So
they may have been jaywalking. I don't think that's a crime. I don't know if that's a crime or would be considered. People may be thinking something else.
It's a pretty standard question, Didi, on any job application. And so I think, I guess kind of how I view it is, I don't think anyone here would have a problem if we find out that, oh my God, Judge Verena got a ticket for jaywalking and didn't tell us about it. But if somebody gets a DUI and doesn't tell us, I think we can make the judgment.
And charged is a term of art versus accused, because anybody can accuse you of a crime.
Right.
Charged is an actual charge. So it's much more limited than a lot of job applications.
Right. But if saying, have you ever been charged by law enforcement, that would include speeding tickets or parking tickets or as well as criminal. And I don't think we're necessarily asking about.
If a person who's applying for a judgeship doesn't understand what charge with the crime means,
I agree.
I don't know what it means, but I am not applying for the job. So
charge is different than being because a lot of job applications, have you ever been arrested, accused, investigated? And it's just this huge, like, and the definition includes like literally everything.
But you're saying speeding's not a crime.
No, well, it can be.
Sometimes it can be.
Right.
Speeding, Well, so
if it's over 5 miles an hour.
Here's a problem. If you're applying for a judgeship, number one, you have to be an attorney. And if you don't know the difference, that's a problem.
Yeah, it'll tell us a lot about the applicant. Yeah. Same answer.
Somebody puts in there, my ex-wife accused me of domestic violence, but no charges were brought. It'd be like, we're not asking that question. So
that would still tell us a lot.
It would. It may be something where you go, we should look
into comprehension problems. Right. But okay. We'd be charged.
Or
convicted of a crime.
Well, convicted is different.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I think charge is probably a broader,
yeah.
Or you could say charged or charged and charged.
Well, if you're convicted, you have been charged.
Okay. You're right.
So Didi, my instinct is to leave that as is. I don't know that.
Then my other one is this. Have you ever contempt is one thing, but I've had issues where judges have, well, let's just say the Supreme Court in a decision, as a part of the decision, wrote about and criticized the brief of the respondent or the petitioner. You know,
which
they
question?
Which question would that cover? Well, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. When you talked about the judges and judicial and disciplinary acts, there isn't a question in there whether someone has ever been criticized by a judge, either in writing or.
I don't really want to do that because if you have a judge that say a trial judge you got crossways with and they write an intemperate ruling, I don't really want to hold that against somebody. And if say the Court of Appeals dings somebody in an opinion personally, which is very, very rare, it's often that bar charges will usually follow.
Well, are you asking
they
about
don't always get, they don't
complaints?
Always
oh yeah, yeah.
Good because I can't tell you. How
I just had I just charge, had an instance
charges and it's like yeah. It doesn't even get to the screening.
Man.
Yeah, it's just where we've been seeing, where people have been seen, you know, driving in their car while they're in court, you know, doing a hearing, doing other things that I think are inappropriate, not professional, but we would never know about that. And to me, that could reflect on how you would be a judge, you know, if you're that cavalier about it. And it's all over the internet and other things about what some people are doing. I don't think anything in this application would bring that forth. And that's what I'm trying to say. I'm not wording it very well, but that's my point.
So there's a 38 is the catch-all that says, state any other pertinent information reflecting positively or adversely on you, which you believe should be disclosed to the commission and mayor and council in connection with your possible selection as magistrate. And we're usually pretty good at finding the weird online stuff.
Yes, that's the thing. If somebody
I'd fix the number, Gene out of error in the numbering. I just,
or maybe, well, could we say issue, it? Could we?
It's going to be out there. Yeah. It's a small town.
And it's not only that we're going off the questionnaire and nothing else. We still have diligence. So, yeah. It's.
And I hesitate to, I mean, it's kind of long as it is. I want to be thorough, but I don't really want to pile on too much.
Wasn't there an applicant who sort of over-disclosed recently?
Yes. There was someone who was not a well person who had like a 300-page attachment. It was
handwritten or something. Yes. It was handwritten.
Yeah, and there was a bunch of stuff on YouTube.
I hate when they're handwritten.
Sorry, Gene, did you... Wait, what?
No, it just...
Oh, you just remember that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was cringy.
So I hear you, Dee Dee, but my instinct is that I don't know that we need that. Does anybody disagree and think we want to have a question about that?
No, so I guess I looking at 21, has any formal charge of professional misconduct ever been filed against you by a state bar or other investigative agency?
You could say formal or informal.
Well, so I think the real question is have there ever been any state bar like or judicial disciplinary
it doesn't have to be a formal charge.
Action sustained, because I've had clients
in an email. Don't they normally tell us in an email?
They'll do that for reappointments, not for the I agree with Miriam that instead of saying charge, saying have there been any sustained complaints
sustained complaints by the state bar or judicial.
If you do this,
yeah,
particularly about certain types of practice, but yeah, long enough, you're going to have a dozen charges or.
I've had complaints made against you by clients. None of them have been sustained because
they don't even get past the charging.
Why would that email come at reappointment but not at interview?
Because when I think part of it is just as a matter of course, the city will reach out to the Commission on Judicial Conduct. Whereas for applicants, I don't know that the city does that. I don't know that they'll reach out to the bar.
Why couldn't it say you can go searching on the state bar? So that would be like kind easy of, for us to check.
Right. And should.
Why wouldn't you say, has any charge of professional misconduct ever been filed against you by the state bar, other investigative agency, or by a client or another attorney? Sometimes a charge gets filed. Let's say another attorney files something because you're being totally obstreperous. You know, you're papering to death or whatever else. And what they do is they do diversion. It's not a formal charge or they just, you know, try to get the two together. But still, that would reflect on their temperament and how they would be a judge. So I just think we're missing that, and I don't know how you can get to it with that. I guess you could ask it in the questions we asked.
The concern I have is I think, and I don't want to speak for Miriam because she is a criminal defense lawyer. I think it would hurt criminal defense lawyers more. It would impact them more because they get a lot more bar complaints than, say, prosecutors do.
Well, actually, prosecutors get bar complaints from defendants all the time as well. I've had a case where was I the prosecutor? I feel like I was the prosecutor at the time, where the defendant filed a bar complaint against every prosecutor who even like appeared, like covered a hearing, and the judge and every defense attorney he had, and he went through like
has any complaint of professional misconduct against you been sustained or substantiated by a state bar or other investigative agency?
I think sustained is important. I had a
resident at a council meeting file a bar charge against me because they didn't like my legal advice.
On
that note, can we, does it matter to ask like how many of these that you file yourself?
So please describe, right?
If
so,
like how often you're complaining about the people that that you're arguing against, or that's
have you ever filed a bar complaint?
How many, how often do you do
that's a good point. Have you ever filed a bar?
It's pretty rare. Like, it's very rare.
But is it public that we could go look it up?
You can look up some disciplinary history, but you couldn't look up if, say, the person who
filed against every single person they came up against. Like, we still want to know that, too.
You're going to know that.
We would know that all of the people. Oh. We'd get torpedo
letters. Yeah, you'd get torpedo letters.
Gotcha.
You'll find that out, especially if
that's a nuclear weapon.
It's
a huge deal.
You know.
It's not a joking matter today.
No, it's not joking, but in the legal community, I feel like you would know if somebody filed a bar complaint against somebody else.
Yeah, especially if somebody was
using it as a weapon, you're saying.
Vexatious complainer. That reputation is going to be out there. Nobody's going to want to work with that person.
Okay. Okay. As long as it's, you know, coming back, that's my biggest concern.
I can tell you there are certain judges in certain places that get noticed every time because they're just a big pain in the butt.
Yeah.
And they don't get rehired later, you know,
okay.
at the city court level. So, you know, that reputation's out there. And like I said,
you know, that's interesting when you talk about reappointment as to how many times have you been stricken by.
We have a question about fired. Have you ever been terminated?
I would be very hesitant to ask someone how often they've been affidavited because, like, there could be unusual reasons.
You get noticed for any reason.
Well, I mean, I've affidavited judges where I know that they are harsher sentences. Like, they are harsher sentencers.
I don't know what that means, guys.
Oh, sorry. What that means, in Arizona, for state court, if your client gets charged and you get in front of a certain judge, you can say, I'm going to file a 10-2 affidavit or a notice that says I get a different judge. I can't choose the next one, and I only get to use that once. But you go back in the hopper, and you've stricken that judge.
When you get a judge, it's random.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the judge appointment
doing the lottery
is random.
Yeah,
no, yeah, it is literally a lottery.
Yeah.
But
you can sometimes you just affidavit because the judge makes your life miserable. And
necessarily.
Yeah. It's a safe.
No, you just know that judge's political stance, and then you okay.
Personal.
Yeah, I don't want that
knowledge of the person that you want to notice them and get rid of them. It doesn't.
I know some judges are harsher on DUIs. If I have a DUI case, I'm like,
you might want to do the lottery again.
But if I have a murder case, I'm like, well, nobody's going to give love on this. So who cares who I'm in front of, there's every judge has different quirks and you kind of know
sure.
practice.
It's not a negative reflection.
No.
It could be, but it's not across the board.
Not necessarily.
And if there's a judge you get, because this happened, this person is not on the bench anymore, but there was a judge who was getting enough of them that it was disrupting the case management system in the court and they had to rebalance cases.
Yeah.
That's something we would hear about.
That happened
from the letters from your colleagues. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that happened up in Maricopa County, a city court. The prosecution noticed this judge every single time. They didn't renew his contract because they're like, we can't. And he was
a big,
I didn't practice it. I just knew this sort of secondhand. But he was a big pain.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Like there's been situations like in Superior Court where a new judge has come into the criminal bench, has no criminal background at all, and is giving like some of the harshest sentences on some of the most lenient pleas that you could get, like unheard of in like the defense and even prosecution. We were all like, whoa. Like if you give somebody a class 6 open plea agreement, most of the time that person's going to get probation because that person can earn an opportunity at a misdemeanor. Doesn't mean you're going to get it every time, but if that person is getting prison, if that judge is giving prison every single time they get one of those plea agreements, that's a red flag. And there have been situations where that person gets affidavited so much that like the other judges go to them and they're like, let's talk about how we, deal with these types of charges. So, I wouldn't.
You're going to hear about it.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. Yeah.
Any other additions or subtractions? I fixed the numbering. I think it should look, the numbering looks good right now. Anything else? And I'm going to make sure that edit is there about the question that Miriam brought up, and then the question that talked about with the bar, Yep. So that's in there. And let me just find the other one real quick and make sure that I think that.
Where you have that one state point about. The cases where you giving the defense counsel and all like that. I thought we were going to have one in here name three people who were opposing counsel in any type of case.
So let me look real quick. Yeah, it'll say so 18 names, email addresses, and telephone numbers of all counsel involved. And so the adversaries will be in there. If they want them to be references, they can put them in 39 or 40.
Well, I saw that, but I found that sometimes defense, your opponents, they might, have information they may not be used as references, and I think you only have that one area. Where's the cases? You say cite three cases. Let me find that. Where was that? Three cases you took to trial and verdict, the date of the proceedings, and the name of the court agency and the name of all counsel involved. But they may not have a case where they took it to trial. And to me, yeah, you know, and they may not be doing trial work. And so to me, I would like to see three opposing counsel, period, whatever kind of case. And it may not be a trial case, because opposing counsel really can give you a real insight into a person. It could be a administrative law case. It could be a corporate document contract case. Could be something like that.
Right.
Wasn't that just contested hearing?
Yeah, so what about in references putting 41 list three opposing counsel you've dealt with, and don't specify that it doesn't have to be litigation. It could be in a transactional matter. It can
right.
be.
Okay. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Let me edit that real quick. So this is going to be.
I think it's 17.
So I'm adding this to the references section. List three individuals you practiced against in any capacity who can.
Right. Names and addresses of it.
Yeah, just in any.
We can speak to okay. your
questionable.
Who can,
they are just, the people that are going to tell you about the person.
That's on there, isn't it, at the bottom?
Yeah, so this is specifically adversaries. I'm okay with adding that. The hesitation I have is that most people are going to put adversaries on there, and I put having them list nine references is a lot.
Yeah.
And so, like, I am going through this with Superior Court right now. It's really hard, and it's hard to find people to satisfy every category.
Yeah.
And so I kind of want to. My instinct is to leave it more open ended, and if they don't list an adversary, then that's a fair question for us to ask. Is,
you know, when I had to do these kind of research things on various things that I had to do for it, including, I found that I didn't even call the references that they called, because I, you know, if you have a reference, it's not going to be favorable. Why, you know, they are going to be, if you're going to try to find out about the person applying for the job or whatever it is, the references, you know, usually write letters, and you get their letters that also are accompanying the application, or they send them in to you. But the opposing counsel may or may not, you know, do it. But if you call and talk to them, or they give you some real information about people. Although I have had a reference a couple of times where the person said, I don't know why they used me, because I don't think very highly.
Yeah.
Of them.
It's like, oh, they didn't tell you ahead of time.
What I'll sometimes do is, if I call a reference, I'll say, oh, all of these other people are applying. Do you have anything to say about them? And it was funny. This happened here, where I called a reference and they said, oh, this person's applying. Oh, they're the best. And the person they were vouching for was Judge Morena. They said she's
no
the best.
Kidding. Yeah, she's very kind.
I've also seen if different applicants use the same reference sometimes, there you can see a difference in like how enthusiastic they are for one over another.
But I'm real hesitant to make them put, like, I don't want to make this like the Superior Court application or Court of Appeals application. Like, those are worse than like a graduate school application. There are dozens.
But at
it's
the same
wild.
Time, it's a very important, you know, being the city court judge has such an effect on people. It's so important that we get somebody really good. And I think we did with the past judge. But I think in the past, there have been some people that have not turned out to be as well.
Yeah, we're only human.
Yeah. Any other additions, corrections to the application that we should talk about? With those edits made, can I have a motion about the application?
I'll move to approve the application with those edits.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstain? Okay, motion carries. I'm going to send that to the staff. And is it okay if I also ask you to just proof it and make sure
absolutely.
That, like, because cut the numbering, and there might be some errant spacing issues or something, but the substance of it, I think the substance of it should all be there.
Maybe once you get it completed, you can send it out to us.
Surprise.
Once it's in its final form, can you send it to us?
Of course.
Yeah.
So the motion is to approve the revised.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't notice that until you pointed it out. And then I was like, wait, 17, 12, 18, 18. I was like, what is happening here?
And then may I add, so this application is what we would give out. And we're not doing lines. We're going to expect them to type it all out.
Yeah. Okay. Or they can also submit their, if they want to just do it on a separate Word document, that's also fine. But yeah, none of the lines are handwritten.
So, okay. So we won't have any handwritten.
Right.
Is it in a PDF or is it in a dot docs?
It'll be a dot docs.
Okay.
Is it hard for us to do a fillable application where people could just do it online?
No, actually, we could set it up.
Like a Google form?
Make it a form, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Whatever is easiest for the applicants, because I feel like there's enough information for us to size people up and interview them, but whatever format is easiest for them, I'm in favor of that.
Can you save it if you're like working on it incrementally? Because this is a huge
it depends on the form and how it's set up. What I've seen in a lot of judicial applications, they'll have like it'll just be the dot docs, and some of them will have like fields that you can edit. Some of them will just be totally free form. And you just submit that as a PDF and submit that. So I don't really have a preference because I don't know what the I don't know if they're like what an online fillable form would look like. But I think the people who are applying are going to be practicing lawyers. They can do the dot docs and save it as a PDF.
And if they can't, that tells you something too.
Yeah, they'll be able to do that.
Yeah, but if you have a fillable one, it's optional.
I know, I hate that city court has paper files still. That's why they still require judges to appear in person and for IAs, even though everybody else appears virtually, because they have the paper file from city court. That's the only reason.
So that concludes item 5. Item 6, discussion and possible action to increase publicity for future magistrate openings. I'm going to suggest that we table that for another time because there are probably not going to be applications. Probably not going to be openings for a while, certainly not in the next couple months. Any discussion or disagreement? Item 7, future agenda items. I would like to agendize for the next meeting because I don't think we have a next meeting scheduled, nor are we going to schedule one because we don't have any reappointments or applications to consider. I'd like to agendize the appointment of a vice chair for the next meeting because Dina will be terming off in August and I don't think we'll have a meeting before then. Any other future agenda items?
I do. The letter that we got at some point, this one below, Judge. It's been a while.
That was from Judge Clark.
I think it was.
Given to him from someone.
Yeah, all about the IT issues and knowing how bad the websites are in general. Has this been given to anybody in IT? Is there somebody that has the responsibility for helping that whole mess?
Yeah. Find the application, then once you find it's... But it sounds like it's a little bit being addressed and not having a form to begin with.
But like this form and everything else when you apply, where we give you a series of documents to come back with.
But if they can find the application is kind of was the heart of this. It's like you're given a link and then you go to that link and then you can't, there's nothing to click on. And then you can go in roundabout through the city of Tucson's website, but you have to really know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
It's really quite a drama.
And do you have a copy of that letter?
I do.
Okay.
Sorry.
Because I have not, I don't think any of us have seen the application process from the other side.
I've applied to city of Tucson jobs though. Is it similar like that? If you're going to, because it should be.
I don't think so. I think that was part of that discussion.
Put it on for a next agenda.
Yeah,
it was a future item.
So we'll agendize talking about the making the application, the logistical part of it more user-friendly to the extent that we can. Any other future agenda items? All right. At 10:37, we're adjourned.
Thank you. I can say, Judge was talking about how difficult it is for people to kind of figure out how to contact the court. It's still a mystery.